We're going to talk about the topic on prayer, a disciple's life, life of prayer. And I like this topic because I love praying, and hopefully we'll learn a few things that we'll take away home, and we'll put them into practice as the body of Christ. Amen. So we are going to be looking at Matthew. We've been studying Matthew for quite a while, and there's been a lot of topics that have been discussed in the book of Matthew. We've discussed about Beatitudes, being the salt of the earth, and Malcolm did lay a bit of foundation on prayer. I think it was about 2-3 weeks ago. So our study text is taken from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7 to 15. Before we read that, I'm just going to pray. Father, thank you this morning that God, you are in our midst. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, O God, and we come at your throne to feast of your word, O God. And Lord, I just pray that you grant me boldness, Lord, to speak your word, O God, in the way you want it spoken, God, in the name of Jesus. And I pray that, Lord, stretch out your hand, O God, to heal your people, to heal us, O God, to heal our emotions, heal our minds, heal our spirits, my God. And I just pray that, Father, meet them at the point of need, whatever situation they are in, God. I pray that you step in today, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I decided that I will start by defining what a disciple is, because I just felt they were linked together. So my definition for disciple, I said someone who is a learner and is a student, or one who helps in spreading the doctrine of another. But from a Christian perspective, is somebody who has received Christ and who follows the word of God and is spreading the word of Christ. That's a disciple. So each one of us here, we are a disciple of Christ, or you are a disciple of whatever you follow through. So, but as Christians, we are the disciples of Christ. And being disciples of Christ, we are in this process. There's never a time where we say, I think I've reached the ceiling of my, you know, of my walk with the Lord or of my prayer life. We are still in the process of growth. We are still in the process of being equipped. We are still in the process where God prunes us so that we bear much more fruit. We are in the process where God refines us to make us a blessing to other people. So we'll go on to look at the importance of prayer. Our study text is taken from Matthew chapter 6. I don't know if you have got that on.
No, don't worry.
Or it will link up. Okay. It's taken from Matthew chapter 6 from verse 7 to 15. I'll read it in the New Translation Bible. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, because your Father knows exactly what you need before you ask him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven. Give us our food today, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive, others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And we will look at this in great depth. Prayer is an important subject in a Christian walk, in our Christian walk. And the moment we come in, there is a prayer meeting that is getting conducted. And the moment we start worship, somebody prays, Before we start the preach, we pray. Before we go home, we pray. You know, so it's a life of prayer, but it's one of the most misunderstood subjects that people don't usually follow through. We think that prayer is for a certain category, but prayer is basically communication with God. We need to communicate with God as a disciple of Christ, because God has called us into this relationship. And if we are in a relationship with God, we have to communicate with him. For any relationship to thrive, there has to be communication. If there is no communication, there are problems. There is breakdown of, you know, a lot of things don't go well. And I remember when I was still at school, one of my subjects which I used to like, hate, was mathematics. And I was in S3, now they call it S3. And I found it very difficult because I couldn't hear the teacher. The way the teacher was explaining maths made me hate mathematics. And it so happened that this teacher was transferred, and then another teacher came. When he was communicating and explaining how to solve problems, how to deal with whatever equations were there, it was easy to understand. So communication is very important. Even in our Christian walk, we need to communicate with the Father, because you can't not communicate with God, because he's our Father. We need to go back to him and, you know, find out the way we should go. And we are created to have fellowship with God. The Bible says that, you know, he created us in his own image. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, you know, God would come down in the cool of the day and visit them, and they would communicate. Even after Adam and Eve had fallen, you know, God looked for them, but they were trying to hide from him. And, you know, he knew that, you know, men had sinned, but God stepped in and wanted to communicate with them. And God desires to communicate with us in whatever situation we are in, because he knows anyway, before we start running away. And then through prayer, we can communicate with our Heavenly Father and deepen our relationship. I think I've mentioned that about communication. But sometimes, you know, because we've got an enemy, and he's an invisible enemy, and the devil tries to, you know, change what God has said into something that is not true. You know, he wants to dilute what God has said. He wants to bring deception on what God has said. He wants to make the truth look like a lie. And he wants to create a situation where we believe what's not true about God. You know, so in our walk with the Lord, you know, the devil is always watching. When Job and his family were gathered together, the devil appeared, you know. He was uninvited, but he appeared. He just came and invited himself, and he was there on the scene, you know. And God asked him to say, where have you come from? You know, you didn't receive an invitation later. You've just dropped in and get crushed. And he says, well, I've been wandering to and fro on the face of the earth. And God said, have you seen my servant Job, you know? And he says, oh, yes, I've seen him, you know. And he is well protected. You've got a hedge around him, you know. So for us to understand the importance of prayer, we need to understand that there is an enemy. There is an enemy, and he is uninvited. He doesn't need to be invited. He just comes, you know. Sometimes it comes through thoughts, you know. Sometimes it comes through what we see, what we hear, you know. And the devil will try and devalue the effectiveness of prayer. He will try and say, you know, prayer doesn't work. You're wasting your time, you know. And he will twist everything that God has said, because when we look in the Garden of Eden, you know, the devil went to Eve and he said, "Did really God say that?" You know, it gives you doubting moment to say, I don't think God really said that, and she fell for the trap, because the devil knew that if he twists just one word, then Eve would fall for it. And then even when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, when he was fasting, the devil appeared. He was tempted in the wilderness. He said, turn these stones into bread. You are hungry. You need something to eat. So you can do that, surely, you know. And he would like to do that with us. He would like to nullify the power of prayer. You know, he would like to make prayer like something which is not, it's non-important. It's like the Lord's Prayer. You know, everybody sings it. In school, it was like a national anthem. But the real meaning of it was lost. You know, it was like it's something that you have to just memorize, and you say it. As long as you have said it, then the day is clean. You know, but it's the meaning behind that prayer that God wants us to understand. So, sometimes it's our thought pattern that the devil will attack, you know, and he will say things like, do you really think that God is personally interested in you? You know, he would like to make as if God is not interested because we are sinners. You know, but and then he will go further and say God is far away from you. You know, he's not concerned about, he's got other important business to take care of you, to take care of, rather than taking care of your needs. You know, and he'll go further and say, surely you don't think that God will hear your prayers, later on answer them. You know, this is a familiar tactic that he uses. You know, and if we fall for it, we won't pray, you know. And that's why we find that sometimes prayer meetings are poorly attended, you know. Prayer meetings have got reduced numbers of people that attend them, because the devil just gives people different things to do. Genuinely, people might be busy, but, you know, sometimes it's because there is no time. We can't reprioritize and, you know, just reschedule stuff. But prayer is important. Without prayer, we can do nothing without being empowered in the presence of the Lord. So the Lord Jesus, you know, is our Savior, he wants us to speak directly to the Father. You know, you don't have to correspond through the letter and say, okay, dear Jesus, I'm going to sleep now. I'll put the letter and you can read it later. You know, we have direct access to the Father. And we can speak to Jesus anytime. We can speak to Jesus, you know, in any situation, in any setting, because God hears. So if we have that direct access, then we need to utilize and enrich our relationship with the Father. And then as a disciple of Christ, how is your prayer life? If you were to put it on a scale, to say, okay, I am going to analyze my prayer life and look at how much time I put into prayer, or how many times I pray in a month or a week. So on a scale of 5, what would be your prayer life like? Would it be something that would be on the 5s, or it would be something on the scale of 1? Would it be something in between? You know, and we know where we are at as individuals. I don't claim to know how to pray, you know, but the Spirit of God gives me that utterance. The Spirit of God gives us that utterance on how we should pray. Jesus was a prayer warrior. I mean, he prayed in the night. He prayed in the storm. He prayed when he was feeding people. He prayed even when he was facing death. And you know, he prayed, he fasted days and nights. Sometimes it's very difficult for us to fast. Maybe we just fast for a day and, you know, we stop there. Or we fast from morning until evening. The evening you break and you start again tomorrow. But however, that's a good sacrifice, because God looks at the heart. And, you know, Jesus found hours of solitude to pray. He went out to pray on his own. He had a busy schedule like everybody else. We've got busy schedules, you know. But he prioritized. He went to pray. Before he did anything, he consulted the Father. And he sometimes prayed through the night, and whilst his disciples were sleeping around him. Sometimes we have to make choices, you know, as disciples of Christ, on the time that is suitable for you to pray. You know, you don't have to have time to say, okay, I'm only going to pray when I'm in church, or I'm only going to pray when there's a prayer meeting or there's Magnify. Prayer starts at home. It starts with you as an individual. And Jesus prayed in all sorts of circumstances. When Jesus prayed, people were transformed, people were healed, they were released and made whole. When he spoke to the Father, God answered, you know, because of that relationship that he had with the Father. And, you know, when we come into that relationship, when we develop our relationship with God, you know, God is ready to do what we ask him. You know, God is ready to, you know, to intervene in the situations that we'll be calling him to intervene into. And, you know, God is ready to just direct his power into whatever we need help with, you know. And we'll just look at the positions, the postures that Jesus adopted when he prayed. He prayed while he's standing, and he prayed when he was kneeling. That can be found in Luke 22, verse 41. He walked away about a stone throw, and he knelt down and prayed. You know, sometimes we have to make the decisions to move away from the hustle and bustle of things, from the noise environment. We have to have our own place, you know, where you can pray, your own place where you feel comfortable. I find sometimes at home I have to have a certain designated place where I go and pray by myself, but sometimes it's not feasible because I'm working a long day and I won't be able to have time to pray during that time. And my car becomes my closet. You know, whilst I'm driving, I just begin to pray. God enables me to pray. So we can pray wherever we are, you know. We can make that choice. And then Jesus fell on his face as well. That was when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was filled with anguish, you know, about what he was going to go through. And he fell down on his face. He started praying to the Father to say, Father, can you take this cup away from me? And Jesus prayed in secret much of his prayer life. It was concealed from his closest friend. He made it a must that before he started any of the things that he was scheduled to do, he started off with prayer. You know, there is no magic in anything that we do, whether it's worship, whether it's kids ministry, whether it's ladies ministry or men's time. The secret is in the closet. You can't do it without prayer. We have to come to a place where we ask the Father, you know, we get in tune with God and just ask for his direction. You know, Moses was a mighty man of God, and for every situation, he called on God. And there were times when the children of Israel were murmuring about a lot of things. They would murmur about, you know, having manna. They complained, and you know, they were bitter. They didn't want Moses to lead them anymore. When he went on Mount Sinai for quite a while, they decided to make their beautiful golden calf, and they started bowing to it. You know, they started worshiping the idol. So Moses was in that place where he would just, for everything that happened within the camp of Israel, he went to God. How much more for ourselves, you know? How do we think we can make it in this world where the devil, you know, comes uninvited, where the enemy is ready to, you know, to just pounce on us? We need to go back to the place of prayer where we can find our power and strength. And But when you pray, go to your room. That's Matthew 6, verse 5 to 8. Go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. You know, it's an individual thing, you know. I know sometimes we pray as 3CI, but a prayer meeting starts back in our homes. We have to go into our room, close the door, not with a cup of coffee and a biscuit, because we won't be able to pray, you know. Not with your phone, because you won't be able to pray. The moment you start praying, the phone rings, and you are distracted. You have to answer it. Or the moment you have your phone, you have a message: Sky Go ready, movie is ready for viewing, you know. And that takes you away from what you're supposed to do. So that's why Jesus said you need to go to your room where there is no distraction, you know, where you're not disturbed. Because the devil would like to bring you out from that place. He knows that that's the place of power. He was in heaven. He was kicked down here, you know, and he knows what it is like in heaven. He comes and, you know, he wants to bring all sorts of destruction. Do you notice that when you start praying, that's when all hell breaks loose? You know, you start praying and you start yawning continuously. You know, you start yawning and you wonder, say, oh, but I had a good sleep. You know, what's happening? Or you go in the closet, you just feel so heavy, or you feel you feel like you want to fall asleep, because the devil wants you to come out from there. And if we don't stand against that, you know, the devil wins, and we don't have that relationship with God. God doesn't download what he wants us to have for the day, or how he wants that day to go, or who he wants to minister to. Because prayer is not just limited around us, you know. Prayer is not just for you and me. It's for everybody. You know, we need to pray for our families. So prayer has to move out from ourselves and have a ripple effect around with the people around us. You know, not just yourself. There is people that we need to pray for. We need to pray for the government. We need to pray for those in authority. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for the leaders to have wisdom. Who's going to stand in the gap? You know, if we don't stand and you know, and make a decision to say, I am going to pray. You know, because prayer begins in our homes, and it's enriched when we come together. Imagine if everybody was going to come prayed up. You know, in the morning we go into the prayer meeting, and everybody is just ready. You know, to go for it, and the enemy will just stay, you know, outskirts, because people are on fire around. You know, so we need to make the decision to. Make time to pray and make time to sort of commune with the Father. He wants to have fellowship with us. And then the times that Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed in the morning. We can reference that from Mark chapter 1, verse 35. The next morning, Jesus woke up long before day. So he woke up early in the morning to pray. And then secondly, in the evening, Jesus prayed, and that is found in Mark chapter 6, verse 46. He went out to the hills to pray. And before crisis, Jesus prayed that before feeding the multitude, Jesus sought the face of the Father. You know, just for feeding people, you have to seek the Father's face. It was important, because that miracle wouldn't have taken place if Jesus hadn't prayed. You know, and for things to happen in our lives, we have to go back to that secret place. That's where the engine is. But we find that sometimes in our lives we are in neutral. You know, there's no prayer life in our lives. There's nothing happening in our lives. There's no meaning in our Christian walk. You know, it's so hard to be a Christian when coming on Sunday you have to drag yourself to come to church. You know, because there is no life in your prayer. You have neglected that place of prayer where God speaks to you, where God reveals himself to you. So we need to go back to the prayer life. And then before major decisions, before Jesus made major decisions, he prayed. One day soon after, Jesus went to a mountain to pray, and he prayed the whole night. And that was the time when he was choosing his disciples. So I just presumed that because it was 12 hours, he picked 12 disciples. So he spent 1 hour for each disciple. Even in our lives, we have to come to a place that God is in control. So if God is in control, then we have to go to the one who is in control, you know, to give us direction. For each and everything that we feel, you know, we need to do, because God wants us to come to him and bring it at his feet, and he will give us more wisdom. He will give us the right choices to make. And then Jesus prayed just before great achievements were preceded, feeding of the multitude, I've mentioned that. He prayed even when he was in great sorrow. He told his disciples that, you know, my soul is crushed with grief, you know. And he prayed during sorrow. But when we, as human beings, sometimes when we feel down, prayer is far from us, you know. Sometimes we just focus on our surroundings. We focus on our circumstances. And we feel that, okay, the world has fallen apart. Jesus prayed in that time of need. In that time where he fell down, he consulted the Father. And then he also prayed. He died praying. When he was on the cross, he shouted that, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands, and he gave out the last ghost. He died praying, you know. So in whatever situation you find yourself in, we can pray. Whatever difficult situation we are in, we can pray, and God is able to answer. He says, call unto me and I will answer you, you know, and show you great and mighty things that you have not seen, that you have not heard of. God desires to empower us. He desires to open up a revelation to us and lead us in the right path. The disciples of Jesus saw Jesus praying. They saw Jesus teaching. They saw Jesus, you know, feeding the multitude. They saw Jesus sending them away, you know, to go and witness when he sent them away to go in twos. And, you know, the most thing that touched them was his prayer life. And they say to him, and they say to the Lord, Jesus, teach us how to pray, you know. He said, teach us how to pray. And Jesus taught them the model of prayer. And we look at Matthew, that we're reading about the Lord's Prayer. He says, our Father, you know, he says, pray like this, our Father. If he is our Father, then he must be good to us. You know, if he is our Father, then we have a relationship with him. And he, if he is a loving Father, God is willing to bless us. You know, I can understand that, you know, some people, our backgrounds are different, you know. Maybe you came from a background where you were abused as a child. Maybe you came from a background where your father was never there. He was present but absent, you know. Or maybe you grew up without a father figure in your life. And it's very difficult for you to trust God as a result, you know. It's very difficult to come to the Father and surrender everything because of that experience that you had. But, you know, God being a loving Father, he says, come unto me. You know, he calls us to himself. He calls us to his heart and say, bring all the burdens to me, you know. And he's willing to love us. He's willing to forgive us. He's willing to nurture us. He's willing to give us direction. So if he's our Father, then he loves his children. He wants to expand his kingdom through us and to make us to be a blessing. And he says, who art in heaven? God is high and lifted up and sitting on his throne, holding all things in heaven and on earth. He wants, you know, he is the supreme God. There is no other answer. You know, there's nothing better than God. You know, I've walked with God for quite a long while, and there's nothing satisfying in this world. I cannot exchange God for anything, you know, and I cannot think of substituting him with anything else, because he is so faithful. He is so true to his word. He's so amazing when we have this enriched relationship with him. And it goes on to say, hallowed be thy name. This means that, you know, the name of God is to be revered and honored. We need to revere the name of God. We need to honor God. We need to appreciate what God has done for us. I mean, if we were to be put in the same shoe, I wouldn't want to give up my kids, you know, to die for somebody else. But Jesus took that time for each one of us. God sent his son. He said, leave the heavens where there's lots of things happening. You've got, you know, there's joy, there's worship, there's peace, there's no sickness, there's no war. And he sent his son, I mean, to a world that did not welcome him. The Pharisees were so brutal with Jesus, you know. Everything that he did, they were there to oppose. Wherever he walked, you know, they were there to oppose. And they had a reliable informant. I don't know whether Judas was the informant, you know, that went and fed the Pharisees the information where Jesus was going, because they seemed to be very well aware of his movements, you know. And, you know, whatever he did, whether he healed somebody, they fought against that. Even when the disciples, when Jesus had left, Peter and John, when they healed the lame men, I mean, the Pharisees, the high priests, they were fighting against them. You know, because they didn't understand the word of God. They didn't understand the kingdom of God. So God wants to expand that kingdom, you know, to those that do not know Christ. Now that we've known Christ, we need to spread the word as disciples. And it says, thy will be done. We pray that God's will, his purpose be accomplished on earth. You know, there are still people out there that do not know Christ, you know, and we need to spread the word. And then God will take care of our concerns that are close to our hearts if we seek the kingdom first. If we put God first, he will take care of our needs. But we always do it upside down, and we seek our needs and we ask God to put the icing on the cake on the top. And God is saying, you know, your package is not right. Because it didn't start with God. So whatever we do, it has to start with the Father. And then give us this day our... Oh, sorry. I'm going ahead. Forgive us our debts. Any unconfessed sin is a hindrance to prayer. So whatever unforgiveness we have, God wants us to let go of that thing and release it, because if we hold things back, we won't see the kingdom of God. And forgiveness is a very difficult area. You know, it's a very difficult area for any individual. And I used to have a struggle with forgiveness. I used to really hold things, bottle them up. I used to write stuff, and, you know, I would write things down to have my evidence. She said, he said, this time, you know, this is what they said, and this is what happened. What triggered it is this, and I said, and they said, you know, and it went on. And I used to keep my small booklet, you know. I really struggled with unforgiveness, you know. And sometimes when I would see the person, something would rise up in me, the anger would rise up, you know. I'm just being real. For many years, it was a struggle just to forgive. I wouldn't let go. You know, I didn't want to forgive. I just wanted to be safe. So I put my guards up, you know. I had my evidence. I would write my little notes, and I would write the times when whatever happened. Until there was a preach, Malcolm preached about forgiveness, where Jesus forgives us, he forgets, you know, he puts everything in the sea of forgetfulness, and he puts a placard and say, no fishing. That's when I stopped, you know. That's when it hit me. And then when we were doing the course that we had, it talked about forgiveness, and it says that it's God's command for us to forgive. If we refuse to forgive, God doesn't forgive us, you know, because our prayers won't be answered. So forgiveness is such a big issue that we need to deal with it. And Peter asked Jesus to say, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother? You know, 70 times 7. You know, and Jesus gave him the answer. He said, you have to forgive as many times as you can. So we have to forgive. If we don't forgive, we can't pray. God will not hear us. You can come and sing, but you'll just be entertaining people because it's not from the heart of the Father. You're not bringing life into it, and it's not affecting anybody. It just becomes, if you are preaching, it just becomes an entertainment, you know, a social event, rather than something that gives life. So we really need to ask God to help us to forgive people, let it go, you know, because the devil would want us to, you know, continue wallowing on our past, continue, you know, analyzing everything that people have done against us, the people that have hurt us, have disappointed us, you know, and we focus on that. He loves that. He loves us to focus on the past. But now God has given me the wisdom, and every time these things from the past crop up, I'll just ask the devil and say, okay, let's look at your past. Let's look at your past, devil. You're bringing up my past. Let's look at your past. You were in heaven. Who kicked you out of heaven? It was your disobedience, you know. How was heaven when you were there, you know? And the devil flees because you have resisted him, you know. So we just need to stand our ground and speak back to the devil. Gone are the days where we are silent and he goes just rampage. We really need to stand our ground because he will bring it up all the time, the things that we have done, our past, he will bring it up continuously. And that's the thing that will hinder our prayer life. So we have to really deal with that one. And then it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We are dependent on God for power to keep us from temptation, and he protects us. You know, he knows that when we come into that relationship, as we are walking with him, he gives us direction. Very simply, he gives us direction on day-to-day stuff, you know. And he gives us direction on what to say. Sometimes it's difficult to solve situations, but when you ask God to intervene, it seems so easy. And you say, oh, what was I worried about, you know. We worry ourselves so much. So much that we exclude God out of the equation. And then after everything has happened, your plan A has been into action, plan B has been into action, and it hasn't been fruitful, that's when we go back now to the Father and say, oh, God, help me. You know, but we were supposed to start with the Father. So as a disciple of Christ, how is your individual prayer life, you know? When do you pray? How do you pray? And prayer is not just for the leaders. It's not just for, you know, for prayer warriors or for intercessors. We are all called to pray. And, you know, it's important in our lives to seek the Father, to do the will of the Father, and to hear God, you know. It's very important for us to be in continuous relationship, to be watchful, you know, because the adversary is already prowling around. I mean, if we say to ourselves that the devil is non-existent, we need to rethink. We need to rethink because he's everywhere. You know, he wants to destroy anything. The Bible says that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, you know. So if we're not aware of our enemy, how can we fight him? We need to know who our enemy is. And, you know, leaders, yeah, they have to pray. Pastors have to pray, you know. But we ourselves as individual, we have to pray because God has called us to pray. You know, we have Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. You know, and at the time when Jesus was going to get crucified, the disciples, he went with the disciples, and he wanted them to pray with him. But instead, they started sleeping. You know, they couldn't watch with him to pray. And he went back. He prayed about three times. He went back, found them still sleeping. But, you know, he says that men have not been called to faint. We've been called to pray. In any situation, Jesus prayed when there was a crisis. He prayed in the morning. He prayed in the evening. What's our excuse for not praying, you know? What's your reason for not praying? Because it's not just for those that are in leadership. Prayer is for you as an individual. What are you doing about your prayer life? Because for people to know how to pray is because they've had that relationship with God. And God wants us to, you know, devote ourselves into the prayer life, to hear from him. Because prayer is simple, but we complicate it so much. You know, and we put a high bar for ourselves and we say, oh, I don't have the words to pray. I mean, who asked you for the words? Because the Bible says that, you know, we don't know how we ought to pray. In Romans chapter 8, it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what or how we ought to pray. But the Spirit himself intercedes with groans, words that cannot be expressed. You know, the Holy Spirit teaches us. He gives us the words to pray. And there is no excuse why we shouldn't pray, you know. And it's important to realize that the closet starts at home. Prayer starts at home. Otherwise, worship would just be a drag. You find, because in some meetings, you can know when the presence of the Lord is there. How do you know that? You sense it. You know, that I feel it's been a different meeting. I feel the power of God. I feel the presence of God. The secret is in prayer. We need to move those engines of our lives into, we shift the gears. Don't live your prayer life in neutral. You know, we need to move the gears up. And as we move the gears up, you know, we will affect lives. Lives will be changed. People will be impacted. You know, God will speak. God speaks simply, you know, because I remember there was a time when I was just, I was going to look for some soil, for some pot plants and some soil. And I went to a particular shop in Masobra and I couldn't get the soil. And but there were some fresh rows there that were there. And I just felt the Lord speaking to me that you get some rows. And I said, okay, I'm going to get six. In my family, we are four, so two extra. So, and the Lord said, no, you need to get 10. And I thought, 10? I mean, why should I get 10? What am I going to do with all these rows? So he said, get 10 rows, package them separately, have the 6 in one packet and the 4 in the other. So I did that. And then I went to Strawberry Corner as I was passing. I wanted to buy the soil. So I thought of going into there and checking if there was some supply there. So I went in and I got my soil, and this lady came with me and she says, well, I will help you put this soil in the car. Just go and grab your car and reverse back and we'll just pop it into the boot. So I went and got the car and came back, and she was ready to put the soil in the car. So she put the soil in the car, closed the boot, and the Lord said, that's the lady. And this lady said, do you know, I fancy a cup of tea with some rose. And the Lord said, that's the lady. Give her those rows. They were for her. So I had to take those four and give those rows to her. I mean, that's how, it's a silly thing, but simple, you know. But, you know, sometimes we overthink about prayer. We overthink about what we need to say to God. God is just interested in the simple issues. Prayer is simple. Talking to God is simple. I mean, in the stadium, when people are playing football, they've got the attire for it, they'll dress for it, they'll sing for it, they'll shout for it. I've never seen anybody to say, okay, stanza number one, we're going to sing, yeah, there's nothing. It just comes automatically. They stand up, they shout, they raise their hands, you know. But when it comes to prayer, oh, I don't know how to pray, I don't know the words, how to pray, you know. If you don't know a recipe, search online, Google it, you find it, you know. If you don't know about prayer, Google it. Find it online, you know. And, you know, we enrich our lives by finding out information. Read about prayer. It's not just for the chosen few. It's for everybody. We are God's children. He would love to have a relationship with us and, you know, and enlarge that relationship even to the people around us. Because prayer is not just for ourselves. As you pray, God begins to drop stuff into your heart. You know, I remember one time the Lord said to me, I'm going to need you to come into my workshop. And I said, workshop? I mean, what workshop? I mean, that's for electricians and it's for people with trades. And he said, I want you to come into my workshop. And when you come into my workshop, you find work for you. You know, come into my presence. And he says, I want you to be praying for people that are bound. I am the deliverer. You know, and when I came into the presence of the Lord, sometimes I don't know what I'm praying about, you know, but God would specifically give me names, would specifically give me individuals, he would specifically give me a people group. He would pray for the widows, pray for orphans, pray, you know, for people that are being trafficked, you know, pray for those that you know, have lost loved ones. We surely can pray about those things. If we can do it easily with football or whatever sport you love, I mean, communicating with God is easy. Lord, I love you. That's a prayer. Easy, simple, you know. And God is not looking for perfection from imperfect beings. He just wants our heart. He wants us to, you know, come before him and be genuine. Whatever situation you're in, just open up to God and God will do wonders. And he doesn't look at age. He doesn't look at how old we are, how young we are, you know. It doesn't matter whether you're a teenager. It doesn't matter whether you are young, you know. It doesn't matter whether you're old. God hears prayers, you know. My mom is about 70 years old, and she got saved after I got saved. And she's such a prayer warrior. She loves the Lord. And they've got this meeting that they conduct every week. And there was a particular meeting where a couple came with their four-year-old son. And the son was quite unwell. He didn't look seriously ill, but he was ill to a certain extent. He had a chest infection. And then after the meeting, they dispersed to different places. They went back to their homes. And at 2 a.m., somebody came and knocked at my mom's house. And they came to wake her up. And then she woke up and they said, we need you to come to the house because it's just next door. And she went to the house and the child had died. There was no pulse, no respirations. It's already started conducting people started crying and all that. So and then my mom thought, what am I going to do? You know, I've been woken up at 3 a.m. to come and witness this situation. And she started praying like a mad woman. I prayed, and then when she prayed, the pulse came back, and this baby woke up. You know, and they eventually called the ambulance. But it started off with prayer. And that's a 70-year-old woman. You know, so God can use anybody. There is no age limit. He is able to make that grace abound. He is able to speak to any individual. He will use you in any setting, you know. He will use you whatever circumstances you are facing, you know. And He is faithful. He's ready. But we are always on the go. We are running like Jonah every time. We are restless in his presence. We are anxious in his presence. We are depressed in his presence. And I mean, prayer is the last thing that we'll think of. But God wants us to go to that place, you know, and find him. Go to that place and find his direction and find his guidance, you know, and ask him to say, God, this day, what do you want me to do? You know, sometime in April, I was going for a staff meeting, and it's away in Gilmerton. And as I was going, I just said to the Lord, Lord, I'm going for this meeting. I'm asking you to help me. Let this be the day that you want whatever done done through my life. And I went for the meeting, finished the meeting, I was driving back. And as I was driving back, I saw a lady just walking past. And, I just said in my heart, Lord, I wish I could say, I was just say hello to this woman. You know, and it so happened that within that area, I thought, no, I better drop into the shop and pick out a few things. So I went into the shop and got into the shop, started picking up stuff. As I was picking up things from the shelves, this lady stood in front of me. And I started speaking to her. And discovered that this lady had issues with a teenage daughter. They were in very difficult circumstances she was facing. And when I finished my stuff, I said to her, look, I'll be going just now. If you want a lift, I can drop you somewhere this side. I'm going this direction, so I can drop you off at some point. And she says, oh, that would be nice. Let me just pick a few things. So she picked up a few things, and then we started talking. And eventually I took her to a place, and I said to her, can I pray for you? And I prayed for this lady. I don't know this lady. I've never met her, you know. And I prayed for her, and when we finished praying, she had all these tears in her eyes. I don't know what God did in her heart, but that was none of my business. All I had to do was speak to this lady, you know. So God can use us in whatever circumstances. Some things that we don't even think of, He's able to use us. And, you know, prayer works. How am I doing for time?
You probably have 2 minutes and 38 seconds remaining.
Okay, that's very good. So I am very, very much on time. The last scripture that I wanted to look at is in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. That's the last scripture, because they say when the preacher, when somebody who's preaching says that's the last scripture, just know that's the beginning. But this is the last one. This is the last one. Acts chapter 4, and I'll find the scripture. Yeah, verse 28. This was a time when Peter and John, they had prayed for this lame man who kept asking for alms. And they said to him, you know, silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have, you know, we give you. Rise up in the name of Jesus. And the council was not happy. And it's funny to discover that it was the leading priests. And priests should be godly people. You know, they should be holy people. But they are the ones who are on the forefront to bring these people before the council and start accusing them. So this was after the accusation they had done. And Peter prayed, you know, in verse 29. Peter prayed and he said, and now, O Lord, hear their threats and give your servants great boldness in preaching. Send your healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the building where they were meeting shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached God's message with boldness. You know, sometimes the devil will come pouncing in all sorts of directions. He will come attacking us from all sorts of angles. You know, but our center has to be prayer. You know, it was going to be easy for Jesus to say, Lord, I'm not going to die for these people. I think I can't cope with this. I mean, the anguish that I feel in my heart, the anguish that I'm experiencing, I mean, the mental torture that I'm going through to die for a people who are accusing me, to a people that are insulting me. But Jesus, you know, went through with a plan that God wanted him to do. And, you know, it's because he prayed. He had that power that God had given him because he sought the Father in secret. You know, so when we seek God in our secret closets, things will begin to happen. The reason why we have drive lifestyles that do not affect other people is because of our prayer life is not. We need to check our prayer life. Is it in the gears or is it still in neutral? And the only person that can change those gears is you and me. You know, you don't have to wait for Magnify. You don't have to wait for the prayer meeting in the morning. Start your own prayer meeting in your own home. Close the door, you know, away from the disturbance. If not in the home, somewhere where it's quiet, where you feel comfortable, whatever time it is, you know, because one size cannot fit all. You know, we've got our particular times that will be comfortable for each one of us. So my encouragement to you is, do not neglect your prayer life. Whether you're young, whether you're old, or whatever age you are, prayer is important. That's the beginning. That's the genesis of our lives, is prayer. We have to go back in prayer. Whatever situation, Jesus prayed even when he was about to die. He prayed when he was feeding the multitude. So if Jesus had a prayer lifestyle, who are we not to have one? What's our excuse? You know, why don't you want to pray? Because God wants us to pray. He says, pray without ceasing. You know, we have to make our requests known to God. He's ready to hear our requests. You know, so it's up to us. We know our journey, our walk with Christ, where we fall short. The Lord is ready. He's not looking for superhuman beings. He's just looking for ordinary people that he can use. And he wants to enlarge the tent of your prayer. It just not have to be to yourself, you know, but it has to be all of us. Imagine if every one of us prayed, spent time in the presence of the Lord. Depression wouldn't be an issue, you know. I remember when 2 weeks back I felt quite unwell, and I couldn't wake up out of bed. I just felt so, I had this pain that I couldn't bring my head forward in my chest. And I had to phone my husband, poor him, to come back home and help me out, because I just couldn't get out of bed. I don't know what it was, but it was so painful. And, you know, as the days went by, because when you are sick, you have to go to your bed and sleep and have lots of tissues if you're coughing, and cough mixture and all that stuff around. And you know, I just felt it was too much for me. I said, Lord, I'm such a bad patient. I don't want to be a patient. I don't want to be sick. You know, I don't want to lie in my bed, you know. And, you know, I said, I'm not going to wear this jacket of sickness. I refuse to wear this thing. I refuse to remain sick. You know, I refuse to spend the whole day in my bed. I'm called to pray. I'm called to serve. You know, and I woke up and forgot about my sickness and started doing things as normal. And that thing just left. You know, sometimes when we listen to ourselves, we hear ourselves. But when we hear God, things change. You know, we have to get to a place where we know the voice of the Father. Sometimes the devil brings familiar things, he brings unfamiliar things to us just to attack and bombard our minds. But we have to reschedule our lifestyle and incorporate prayer. Start from the beginning and all will go well. Okay, so shall we all stand? We are closing now. It's all over. Yeah, so I just want us to reflect, you as an individual, you know where you stand with your prayer life. And the only person that can make those changes and adjust accordingly is yourself. You know, and I just hope that you picked up something that is beneficial from this meeting that you utilize. And when we come together, we will know we'll be on fire. Our prayer life will change. And this place will be a place where people can find healing. They can find joy. They can find deliverance because of our prayer lives. So you as an individual, how is your prayer life? Do you want it to change or to remain the way it is? Do you want to forgive? You know, do you want to hear God? Do you want to see the power of God? Do you want to feel his presence? Do you want to hear him speak to you? Do you want him to give you the right words when you need them? Do you want him to heal you of that disease? You have to go back to the prayer closet. You have to go back to the place of fellowship. Jesus says, come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus can make your prayer life, you know, a power line for other people. He can make it as a lifeline for other people. But we have to yield ourselves to him. We have to say, God, I need to start with prayer. Remind me to start with prayer in every situation that I'm in. Father, thank you this morning, God, that you are faithful, O God. Thank you, Lord, that you love each one of us, my God. And I thank you that, Jesus, you took time to die for us. The cross was enough, O God. The cross was enough, Lord. Thank you, God, for bringing the message of deliverance into our lives, the message of hope into our lives, for breaking chains in our lives. God, for setting us free, for giving us the Holy Spirit who intercedes in our lives. I pray that God will allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives, to speak in our lives, to pray in us in the name of Jesus, that we'll be able to hear you, Lord, that we'll be able to forgive and release men of the hurts that we've experienced, of the past, oh God, of the rejection that we experienced, Lord. Father, the abandonment that we had, oh God. Lord, that we'll be able to release people. God, we choose this day to forgive. We choose this day to walk away from our past. We choose this day, God, to make you number one, God, in everything that we do, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that help us, that our prayer life will change. The engine of our prayer, God, will continue, Lord, even Father, to be on fire for you, to move for you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, to do what you want us to do, even in our daily schedules that we have, oh God. I pray for the change, oh God, in those schedules, that you will reign in those schedules, that we will reschedule our time for you, God. We'll have that time where we go and find you, Lord, where we go and seek your heart, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, God, and we bless your name. Amen.